me to change. They want me to change, but I ain't changing. Nah. I remain the same.
And you are now tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing. Men make moves and suckers stand still. And the mighty, mighty, mighty Nerve DJs Radio Network. Y'all caught me kind of looking at my phone there for a second. I was still trying to look up some shit that I just can't find. You already know, though, man. Week after week, month after month, day after day, we only rock with legends this way. And today is absolutely no exception. We have one of the finest human beings to grace the galaxy in the last 10,000 years. Mother, queen, hip-hop, bartender, whatever you need. This woman can accomplish it and do it in a fashion that is magnanimous. I'm not even sure if that's a word, but y'all get my fucking point. Let me get Ellie San Diego to the stage. How you doing, queen?
I'm doing good. I'm doing so well. Thank you for asking. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm excited about today.
Oh, no doubt. It's an honor. How's your family?
Everybody is doing good. We're all blessed and here. Doing a good job. Everybody's great.
So what? It's a fucking bug just flying around here. I'm sorry. My mouth is horrible. I curse a lot. So I apologize to your family and friends that are listening.
You're fine. You're okay.
So bartending, how long have you been doing that?
Oh, I want to say 2009 was the first time I stepped behind any bar, craft cocktail wise. Definitely a little over a decade for sure. But, you know, I've been in the service industry since 2007.
Okay, like, what do you like about bartending and what do you hate?
The thing that I like about it most is being able to like curate experiences and like entertain guests, have great conversation and just mix up things behind the bar. I just really enjoy doing that.
Okay. I have been the drunk nigga at the bar. not gonna lie about that. how do you deal with the drunk dude at the bar?
A lot of grace, and then it just kind of depends. I assess every situation a little bit differently. Sometimes people just need a little more conversation. Sometimes you got to like cut people off. I've also been like the drunk person at the bar before too. So I have a little bit more grace than, you know, and more patience. I have patience, but I extend my patience to a certain degree because if it gets ridiculous or unruly, it's like, okay, you gotta be done. You know, like, you're doing too much, way too much. So
you got a favorite drink to make?
Do I like have a favorite drink to make? I'm a craft cocktail bartender by trade. I think more recently, within the last couple of years, I love to make tiki drinks, generally like rum based tropical drinks, but I like to add things that are like very unusual but delightful, like things that people really, really enjoy, like something that makes you say, I've never had anything like this, but this is great.
Yeah, so I'll be looking on the menus and I end up ordering the same thing over and over and over.
What's your drink?
Really wine.
Like wine, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'm no connoisseur, but, you know, give me a Moscato and we good to go.
Okay. You know, all right. So you like the sweet wines?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
I rocks with Don Julio.
All right. Tequila. All right.
I'll do some tequila. Tacos and tequila is my thing. Other than that, no, the brown liquor is not in my favor. I don't do that no more. The brown liquor days are over. So, yeah, pretty much just a Don for me. Okay. What's a good Don Julio drink though? Like, oh, I like margaritas too.
Nice. Margarita is a classic. It's always on point, always on time, every time. Can't go wrong.
When did you fall in love with hip hop?
Oh, when did I fall in love with hip hop? I think it was a gradual thing that just kind of hit me as I went along. One of my first songs that I ever listened to was Tupac, Dear Mama, because I grew up in the church, and like my mom didn't let me listen to rap music, didn't let me listen to the radio or things that other kids were listening to. And I got in the car with my cousin and it was playing on the radio, and I was like, oh, I feel this, you know, I was like a kid, but I felt it. And one of the first albums that I got, my cousin took me to the gas station, and it was a cassette tape, Misty Misdemeanor. So, you know, like that's where I kind of fell in love with it. But my family had always been a music family. And as I grew older and I got introduced to like the open mic scene, I started seeing all of these different people like in the community that were just super creative. And I was like, wow, I seen family in a studio before, but I didn't realize that the music scene was this creative. So just all types of music, poetry and things of that nature, different genres, but especially hip hop. I gravitated towards that because I wanted to be a part of it. And I started doing hip hop at open mics, and then like the rest was history.
So. Okay. So you're from Detroit, right?
Born and raised.
West or East?
West.
Okay. Good for you. Yeah, definitely West Side. Where at? Schoolcraft, 7 Mile?
Between Pickle Schoolcraft, Evergreen, West Side.
Unfortunate, you know, but I'll give you a pass. You know, 7 Mile is in the building always. But is there a Detroit artist that just like really does it for you?
I've been able to be on stages with so many amazing artists. I can't, it's so many of them. I mean, from your Mahogany Jones to your Book Brown, I mean, are the first people that come to mind, but I mean, Steph Chris, you have Charity, you like, there's so many, it's like endless, like my close friends, you know, like I get inspired by everybody when I go out.
Oh my God.
Truthfully.
Man. I do not. There's a lot of trash out here. I'm going to be honest with you, but I'm an old head, clearly.
Now, my dad told me something that kind of resonated with me, because I'd be like, oh, this is trash. And like quality of music, that's a thing. So I'm not minimizing that. But one thing that he said to me that made a lot of sense, especially as I got older, he said, it's no good and bad music. It's what you like and what you don't like. And regardless of how we feel, it might be bad to us, but it's good to somebody else. So,
there's some trash shit out there. I'm sorry. Respectfully.
I respect your opinion. I do.
Although there was this guy named, and he only made one song that I've ever heard, Amir the Merciless, and he made this song called "A Day Without a Rhyme," and that song, like, just that was it. Like, it just turned, you know, like for me anyway, you know, it just. It opened up a brand new world for me, you know, and I was blessed enough to have been around basically from day one of hip hop, you know, but that was my opening to definitely Detroit hip hop.
Beautiful.
You know, and what I love about now is like, I don't like that a lot of dudes sound the same, but I do like it, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because no, Detroit now has a sound. Which it never really had before. You know, everybody sounded different. So it's kind of dope that there's, you know, people in Atlanta trying to sound like Detroit artists.
Mm-hmm.
Or people in Texas, or, you know, which is a gift and a curse. It kind of runs it into the ground a little bit. But man, it's just dope to be like, yeah, I'm from Detroit. And they be like, well, you know so-and-so? No, nigga, I don't.
No, I don't.
Like, bro, it's not 3 blocks long. It's a whole ass city. So no, and I'll be a smart ass about it. I don't care. Do you have a particular way that you construct songs?
Well, that's a good question that I've been asked before. I think I like creating the beginning of it in motion. Right. So I'm either driving or I'm walking or and something comes to mind and it's catchy and I start it. And then after that, you know, I like to kind of put the song on repeat and just keep going and see what I come up with. And then once I do that, I just kind of knock it down and I kind of edit it. I might get in the studio and vibe out, but I like the personal time first. That's what I prefer. But I mean, sometimes it changes, but I prefer like having personal time with the music first and the idea and creating from that and then kind of building on that as I go.
Are you producing yourself or do you have other producers or both?
I've worked with different producers throughout the years. So I have a couple and there have been times that I've recorded myself and things of that nature and I have that ability. But I really do like working with the engineer.
Okay.
And the producer. Well,
yeah, engineers are so underrated. They don't get no, they definitely don't, you know, like the vibe in this. And I think another thing that's underrated is the energy in the studio.
Absolutely.
You know, like there's some things, there's a reason that a hit song is a hit song. It's not just because it's a dope song. It's because it's a dope song recorded at the right time with the right people in the studio to give you the right energy.
That's been a major factor in most hits.
Is there something that you go into the studio and you're like, no, this is off. I can't do this today.
Yeah, I think that that's been... I think more recently, I'm getting my juices back, but there have been times where I'm like, this is a block. This doesn't sound right to me. This, it just feels different. It feels weird. It doesn't feel authentic. It feels uncomfortable to me. And like, yeah, I've definitely experienced that for sure.
Is there pressure to like to take your clothes? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but is there pressure on you? You're a pretty young lady to be more revealed, like more sexy red.
So that's a really, really good question. And, short answer is no. I'll say like, I've been doing this long enough. Like I don't have a huge discography or much of a discography at all, like on wax, but I can go and I can do an hour and a half at Willis Show Bar live music. And so who I've been true to as far as who I am for myself is who I'm supposed to be. And so the pressure, I would say, for a small amount of time, I felt uncomfortable. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this because some people are asking this of me and that's not me. So I feel like it, for a small amount of time, it was discouraging, but I've never been at all, you know, influence to be somebody that I'm not or to be more revealing or more sexy or more seductive. Like if I'm sexy, it's gonna be because I'm a woman who can be seductive at times, but that's not what my rap is about. It's not me, so I'm confident in that. So
somebody comes and says, what's Ellie like, what's her style, what do you say?
I have a conscious style. There's a slight amount of pop in there. I love grassroots hip hop. That's what I love. I love performing with bands and I love just musicality. I like different genres of music. So I kind of mesh those things together, but my content is definitely has consciousness, embedded, you know, throughout, even the fun shit. You know what I mean? Like there's something to be thought about or to be explored, in my music, I would say.
Are you talking about love?
A little bit. From time to time.
Do you have to be hurt to make a great song, or can you make a great song about somebody you really love?
Listen, I think you can make some good songs out of some bad stuff. Like, for real, for real. Like, heartbreak makes some good songs. That pain is really, really valuable to, like, you know, the process sometimes, but I've learned that you can be in a great space and be able to make some meaningful, impactful music. And I also think it depends on the person. You know, where do you draw your creativity from? Where do you shine? Where do you create the most? I think that matters as well.
Just completely off of music. And I don't know. I've been in a different space lately.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know you're in love?
How do you know you're in love? That's a good question. I think it's a good question, but I do think that a lot of times, and I know this is a little cliche, we think of love as the butterflies and the feelings and the things that feel good to us and the times that are up and the times that are good. And I think that we lose sight of the fact that love is just love. It's there regardless of what's going on, no matter if we're up, no matter if we're down. It's unconditional. And sometimes there are ups and downs throughout love. So am I going to be there when, like, you old and gray and I'm going to wipe your butt too? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you going to be there for me if I lose all of my looks and my face gets blown up in a car accident? Are you still going to love me? Are you going to be there for me? So I think love is also sacrifice.
Oh.
So I think knowing you're in love is knowing, hey, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to stick beside him. You know, like, that's love to me. You know.
So my cousin calls me like 7 o'clock in the morning, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And he's like, oh, gee. Like what do you say? Like, how do you know? Basically the same question. And I said, so if you can talk to them about nothing, that's the one, you know, if the fucked up shit about them is hilarious to you or okay with you. When she, you know, she takes a shit and it smells horrible, and then you like, I don't care. Or she farts in front of you and you like, yeah, I got one too. You know, it's to your point. You know, it's not just a, you know, anybody can be happy in a relationship and say I love you. When I don't like your ass, and you really being a shithole, and I have been a shithole, you know, or she's being a shithole. And you still like, man, you fucked up, but I really still fuck with you, you know.
And I think too, like, when you love somebody, you do the best that you can to cater to them.
Yeah.
Because I also don't want to pretend like struggle love is good. Like, that doesn't mean love that you stick beside somebody who's gonna bust you upside your head or call you out your name or do you dirty or cheat on you every 5 seconds. That ain't, you know what I'm saying?
But like, I'm too old to be sleeping on a mat. Fuck you ain't got a whole ass bed. Don't call me. This is not happening.
You know, like, struggle love is not the necessity, you know, in the whole gamut of things. But I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, you know what's love. Like, stuff looks like love and feels like love. But it's when it's not the real thing, it's the part of you, I think, that knows.
Although I will say struggle love, and not the violent shit. I'm not with that. But that we broke love.
Oh, we can be broke.
Well, I can't at this point. I'm 52. No, we can't.
What I'm saying is, if we love each other and we're together and we go through it up and down, not like I'm about to be with you and you ain't got nothing and I ain't got nothing. Like, our priorities ain't right.
But it's different when you're 25. Like, if we're 25 and we broke, I'm cool with that. You know, we get our first apartment together, I'm cool with that. You know, we got one car we sharing, I'm cool with that. When you're 40 years old, like, no, I'm not cool with that. You got to have motion.
True.
You know, because you don't want no bum, and I don't want to present a bum to you.
And that's love.
Yeah. You know, I want to add value to whatever situation you got going on.
That's love. And
even if you got to tell me what that value is, if I really love you, I can work my hand to that value. Like, I'm not going to change everything about me, but I will change how I operate.
Absolutely.
So what's the next 10 years look like for you?
The next 10 years looks like me continuing to build on things that I've started. Like, I'm an entrepreneur, just taking things to the next level. Making sure that I'm intentional about my purpose in a new way. Just recently I decided, like, yo, I'm not even about to be drinking no more. You know what I'm saying? So, like, more clarity, getting stuff done, making sure that I'm a good steward of the gifts that I have and just multiplying those more and more.
Any particular reason or
just because I'm a better self without it. In this industry, I've been doing this for a long time. You have weekends and, you know, you hang out a little bit too late or you drink a little bit too much. And the next day you're tired or you're groggy and the 10 things that you were supposed to do, you only get 5 of them or maybe 3. You know, like, I just think that in this season of my life, I don't have time for, like, I need to eat healthier. You know, like, there's a lot of things that I need to implement, like waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, exercising, like getting to work, doing things that is really, really going to feed my purpose. So I just made the decision, like, yeah, just, you know, right now it's just not for me. So the next 10 years for me looks like just progressing at a more steady rate. Like, I want to travel. I want to tour. I want to put out an album. I want to speak. You know, I have a couple of other things. And there's like a brick and mortar idea that I want to do, like in the arts community situation. Mm-hmm. And they're just, I got some huge goals. So I got to tighten up. That makes sense.
You got a son, right? How did motherhood change you?
So I have two sons and a daughter.
Okay. I'm sorry. I seen the one son with y'all on YouTube thing. So no disrespect to the other son and daughter. Shout out to y'all.
Don't feel it, but I got to shout them out. Motherhood has changed me. I used to say this all the time is they say, oh, you did such a great job with your kids. I'm like, and they've done a good job with me. I was a young mom. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of kept me focused in a way of like, just making sure that I'm there for them enough to give them the things that I never had. You know what I mean? Just like my commitment to them was so strong, like making sure I was at, you know, the games, making sure they have the things that they needed. You know, like there's just a maturity level too that you go through when you have children, you know, young, at a young age. And so there was a maturity level, like I was working, I was doing this. I'm going back and forth. I went to school, like it was just a thing. So they've grown me in so many ways, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. They've made me look at myself in the mirror, and they've also allowed me to have more grace for my parents and the people that were older than me. Because we just humans trying to figure this life out. You know what I mean? So
you don't really like it. I won't say you don't really, but it's extremely difficult to understand your parents until you become one. And then the shit that you hated your parents for, I wanted you to get hit by a bus. And now you like, well, I'm doing exactly the same shit. I get why they did X, Y, Z, and it just gives you, it takes your relationship to a whole nother level. You know, and see, I have three daughters. And they're grown. And they got kids. So seeing them with their kids is wild shit. Like being a whole grandfather, crazy work. Like I you know, like my grandbaby calls me today. She's Papa 100 times.
Oh, I'm not ready.
Oh my God. It's so amazing. It's so amazing.
I know.
Like, you know, and not, you know, having grandkids is kind of better. You know, I'm not responsible, really. I can be a complete fuck up in their lives and they just go back home. You can't. Oh, I mean, I'm not going to be smoking crack. I was not smoking crack anyway, but I'm not smoking crack in front of the grandbabies.
You
but,
just when they go home.
That's fucked up. But no, I'm not responsible. So, you know, if they want to come over here and paint on the walls, paint on the fucking walls. I don't care.
Which,
you know, I buy them, if I want to buy them a drum set, I sit at home with them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, and they just look at you like your kids are always challenging you. Your grandkids don't challenge you the same way.
Yeah, it's a difference there.
You know, biggest life lesson you've learned in the last 5 years?
Biggest. All of them staying big. No, that's a good question. I think that the biggest thing that I've learned in the last 5 years that I'm continuing to learn, it's a continuation of learning, is not to doubt yourself. You know, like anything that I've doubted, I've looked back and said, I shouldn't have doubted myself. I was right the whole time. And not necessarily about situations, but about me.
Yeah.
You know, like not to shortchange yourself, not to doubt yourself. And also, don't ask too many people for their opinions, even the people that you love closest to you, because you're doubting yourself, and the same vision that you have for yourself is not necessarily the same vision that they had. They don't approach things exactly like you. Thanks. It's good to have a village to help you out and to kind of navigate through, but I've learned people project even when they don't mean to. And so when you just lean into that and you trust them and you don't trust God and you don't trust yourself, then you're doing yourself a disservice, and you could be missing out on opportunities. You could be holding yourself back. You could be walking your way into sadness, depression, and out of opportunities. So you have to trust yourself, and you got to trust God.
Yo, failed dreams permeate everything. And unfortunately, like you said, people will project their shit onto you because they wanted to be a singer and it didn't work, or they wanted to do this. And now, instead of them saying, hey, you try that shit, they're like, oh, well, don't do that shit because it's not going to work. No, just do that shit. And then the motherfuckers that's supposed to be there to help you will be there to help you.
Absolutely.
Yo, that is... that is wisdom right there. Like, you way too young to know that.
Oh, you sound way too young to know
you
it?
You way too young to know that.
Thank you so much.
So, this is a question I ask frequently. And it's the only, really, sure. One of the few questions I repeatedly ask. So, you're sitting on a park bench, and God sits next to you and says you can ask him one question. What is it?
Why we gotta do all this? Like, why can't we just, you know, why we can't just be in a state of perpetual happiness, and, you know, like, why can't Earth just be heaven and we just get everything that we love and just live in harmony? And I kind of know parts of the answer to that, but like, I still don't get it. Why we gotta go through this?
At first, I thought she was asking me the question, and I realized that's a fucking dope question.
Father, come on.
Yo, I don't know if anybody's ever answered it that way. and you know, I've had people that like, oh, I don't want to ask God a question, and my thing, why not?
That would be my first question. You know the scrolls that they have?
Oh my God. I got a lot of questions.
Got a lot of questions.
Why do we have to take shits? I don't get that. You could have made the human body differently, but we didn't have to even do that. You know, some things like oh my God. you kind of fucked my head up with that one. That's a different one.
We can all ask, why is there sickness in the world? And all, like, those are cliche questions, but it's like, why all of it? Everything.
Wow. So I'm looking in your bio and it says activist. What how?
So in a lot of ways. So there have been times that I've been able to use my voice for social justice, social change. I've been on meetings with One Fair Wage, with lobbyists to talk about One Fair Wage and, you know, raising those things during the you know, the protests and things of that nature. I was marching, you know, I spoke. I try to educate people around me. I will say the last, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years, I haven't been as activated, but I do what I can within the space that I have the capacity, which means having conversations, important conversations, advocating in a workspace, and things of that nature. I just think that we should all be fighting for the least of us and always speaking up, you know, and saying something, because you have to say something, and you have to, you know, do your part. You don't have to, but you should.
You know, I've seen, you know, like my Detroit that I grew up in, 97-98% black people, and I've seen the changes. I've seen a white dude walking a poodle at 8 o'clock in the morning on Woodward. Concerning, to say the least. Is it progress to you, or are you concerned as well?
So I often speak about the fact that I'm in a lot of different you know, music scene, service industry, all these different things. I'm downtown, I'm embedded. I've seen the change in such a dynamic way.
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful. It's cute out there. It's nice to be able to walk out and, you know, take advantage of these things. But I feel like we all have levels of privilege, right? And so I look around and I look at my kids' schools and I'm like, well, I did look at my kids' schools, and I'm like, yo, like they still can't get the things that they need in their classrooms, but we're building these things up. And so gentrification is a real problem. It's a huge problem. It's humongous. And you have people coming from out of the state being able to purchase up property, raise the rent to the point we can't even afford to be there. Restaurants, the prices are up, you know, and like I said, I'm privileged enough to be in spaces where I can navigate, I can get around, I can enjoy things, but I never forget about the way that I love the Greenway and you can ride your bike and it's beautiful. There were senior citizens that were in a community that basements got flooded. And when they're talking about allocating funds, they're last on the list. You know what I mean? So I think that that's a huge problem. And so I'm very vocal about that. Like, yeah, there's progress in some areas, but for who? Not everyday people. And I mean, it ends up trickling down, but in the grand scheme of things, it's messed up.
I don't think it really ends up trickling down. Like when they be like, oh, well, you know, we got a sports franchise. They economically, there's not really much proof that putting a football team in your city actually benefits the city.
No. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't benefit. And when I say trickle down, I mean, you might get a drop because
yeah,
they want your school to look better. You know what I mean? Like they want this avenue to look better. So maybe you do get one recreation center. Maybe you do get some affordable housing, but in the grand scheme of things, it's a joke, you know? So.
You ever considered running for office?
No.
Why not?
Politics is, it's a lot. I would rather, you know, speak to people, grassroots, you know, fortify my own knowledge because I still have a lot that I have to learn, you know, speak to people and just kind of engage in some community activities and put it in my music. I don't really strive to be a politician. I know a lot of times, you know, and no slight. I think there's some amazing politicians out there doing some amazing work, but it's very, very hard to be a politician. Like, I feel like it's hard to like be a police. I would never be a police officer.
I mean, but to be quite honest, you're a bartender. You're already a politician. And
yeah,
you got to think about it. Your constituents are inebriated. So you have to navigate convincing them to do shit that they necessarily not thinking to do, like go home. You have to navigate listening to their grievances that you're not really interested in listening to. You have to navigate this person sitting next to this person and them not having an issue. Or if you hear a conversation that's kind of like getting to a certain level, you got to diffuse that. Or at least call somebody in to diffuse that. So you're really a politician. You just don't have a label.
I'll say this. It's not something that's on my heart to do. It's not something I desire to do. I don't know. Maybe 10 years from now, I get older and I'm like, you know what? I'm a rough office. You know?
Wow.
When I'm like...
When you get 50. You get older. Oh, my God. Here we go. When you
give me 12 years.
When you my age, huh?
When I'm 12 years, I'm gonna be 50 years old, and I might.
Wow,
I would love to like support, you know, really good politicians who are doing the work and have worked a long time and tirelessly and showed a track record to being for the people. And I think we do have a few people like that, you know, in the city, you know, very, very dedicated. So. I feel like I'm a support person in that vein. You know, I'll speak, but I don't really want to be a person.
So I saw the Instagram, and I want to say that was you and your son cooking.
Oh yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah,
on YouTube.
Yeah.
Are you still doing that? If not, why not?
No, we're not doing it. And, you know, those are one of those things where, oh, yeah, we're, you know what? I'm going to start doing the cooking thing. And I think it was during the pandemic. So it was like, we have nothing but time. We at the crib. I had started a garden. I had already always wanted to do it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just be a content creator because that's what I wanted to do. Give me more flexibility with my family, my kids. And then, you know, it was time to go back to work and the editing and the time, you know, like I really underestimated how much work it was going to take and how much, you know, it's a lot of moving parts. So I kind of just put it to the side a little bit, not forever, but for the time being, especially because work started back up. So I didn't have the time that I had during the pandemic.
Yeah, like. The editing shit and putting out videos, oh my God, such a fucking headache. And a lot of time. Like, you see some of these really large content creators, that they got people that do shit. But in the beginning, they didn't have people that do shit. And they set a tempo of putting out so much volume. And then it's got to be high quality volume because people want to see, you know, they want to see 5 or 6 videos from you a day.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is a lot. Like, I can't keep this all up by myself because, and I'm also like, I'm real tedious. Like, I'm always like a perfectionist. Like, this got to cut right here. It's got to look just like that, which, you know, analysis paralysis or whatever they call it. I got that. I got that so bad. It's like really, really bad to the point where like it'll be just a regular flyer. I got to move this one little. It's like it's just too much. And I think I don't know. It's an issue. Like, I'm working on it. But yeah, that editing is no joke.
No, it is not. Was there anything valuable about the content that you are creating to you?
Well, okay, so I was doing multiple things. One of the things was I was interviewing people. It was like this kind of like a podcast called Fire from Fire, and it was fire people who went through the fire and came out on fire and amazing, like that type of thing. But again, it was the editing. Like, I set up my living room, have my guests. Like, I'm gonna send you a couple clips. Like,
I want to see this because I mean, the premise sounds phenomenal.
This is ridiculous. Like, I cannot edit this. I cannot keep this up. I had my little camera over here. I had my phone over here. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna do this, you know? And I was so serious, but I was like, you know what? There's no way I can do this all by myself. I can't do it. And so, cause I had other things going on as well. And then there was something else where I kind of set up my camera or whatever. And, I was just kind of talking about positive things and just breaking down stuff. Like, I don't know. It was a lot of stuff. I just started.
So the fire through the fire. Who was the most interesting person?
Well, I only did like, I think, 3 people. Mm-hmm. And they were as equally as amazing. They were hip hop artists that are like good friends of mine. Mm-hmm. One by the name of Train, and Train Freeman, he's a hip hop artist, and one, A-Dot. They're artists, and they had a story, and they've been through some things, and they just kind of let me in on some things that, you know, was pressing on their heart, and it was a really good conversation, but it was wonderful. But yeah, I've also been a host, you know, co-host of radio shows and things of that nature in the past as well, so mm-hmm. I just really like having conversations with people, and it was great. I just, that editing, baby, I'm like, no, I just got to get some dollars. I just gotta get some dollars and then just go in the studio and let them do the things and just do my work.
Okay.
It's too much.
Last time you cried.
Last time I cried. Probably like a week ago.
Why?
A week ago. Last week was crazy. I think last week I was a little bit stressed out because it was just a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. So in a household. I got a son who's 19, a daughter who just turned 18. I got a 9-year-old. I got work. My mom just got sick. And it's just a lot going on. And so when people don't do what they're supposed to do around the house, or, you know, like, I think it was just the buildup of a lot of things. I was frustrated with myself because I had been, I don't know, I had drank too much the night before. And you know how you are, like, hungover. See, this is one of the reasons why I was like, like, I can't be doing this. It's just a lot of different reasons. And so, yeah, about a week ago for sure. I don't remember the last time I cried, but I can definitely tell you I cried last week.
You got a 19-year-old son?
I do.
Yo, I would never guess that. That's crazy.
Yes.
What's the difference between the 10-year-old son and him?
The 9-year-old and
I don't mean the 9-year-old, but the him at 10 and him at 19.
Oh, okay. So, I think just kind of a thing that, like, I think teenagers go through. And he's kind of like on the back end of it now, but at 10 years old, super friendly, super cool, super impressionable, super sweet, super, you know, like, just, hey, everybody, we should play a game. Like, just real, just very, I don't know, his heart is just really, really good, and it's always been since he's been really, really young. And so just very insightful, very understanding, like all of those things. But I think when you get older, you got to put your grown man on a little bit, so it fights with the kid, you know what I mean? And then you have to kind of level things out. So I'm watching that journey, because you know, you get to a place where your kid was just giving you a hug yesterday, now all of a sudden you wet. Like, come on now, like, don't play me like that. So I started looking through that. You know, they go through the point where they'll, like, put on what you tell them to put on, and then they like, I'm wearing this hoodie, but it's 90 degrees outside. Like,
that's crazy. So, what's wrong with these people nowadays?
But I think that he's coming into his own, and I think he's more sure of himself. I think he's the same kid. He's just an older person who's coming out of the tragedy that is teenagerhood. You know, that's just a wild spot. So he's same guy, just more mature and more ready for the world. You know,
19 is a extremely tricky age for a young man. You know, you're not quite old enough to be your own man, but you are, because you're over 18.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, and you got some real, like, that's when the rest of your life is decided.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Crazy for me, you know, because I have two kids that are at that age. Like, my daughter just turned 18. And so I'm just like, God, like, help me with the wisdom to know when to do this and when to do this. Because it's hard. It's difficult, like, remembering yourself at that age and remembering all of the things that are going on. You just have to really trust God. You got to trust your kids. You got to be like, man, you're going to be all right. I guess God love you more than I could. You know, you out here now.
You got to trust the job that you did.
I'm here for you, yeah.
And that's the hardest part, is trusting yourself.
Absolutely.
And watching your kids do dumbass fucked up shit. And, if they don't come to you, like, not every advice needs to be given. Some of this shit, they need to just fucking fall on their face, roll over, and get up.
Yeah.
And watching that happen is it can be painful. And then when they come to you and they say, okay, well, I tried it my way, it didn't work. What'd you say about so-and-so? Okay, you know. And then the evolution changes from they're just my parent to they're a person.
Yeah.
And then they start seeing your flaws for the human being that you are. And that's some humbling shit too.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I've, you know, especially as a man with daughters, you try not to let certain things you don't want them to see. you can't hide who you are forever.
You can't. There's no way.
Yeah. And then you find out, oh, wow, you did that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still love you. But, you know, but you look at things differently. Wow, this has been a phenomenal conversation. First off, if nobody's told you today, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we don't tell each other that enough. So I try to make sure I do that every show. If people want to work with you, they want to get in contact with you, how do they go about doing that?
They can email me. I believe it's in my bio. I'll be releasing and being more intentional about those things in the upcoming months. So if you just hit me up on social media, man, we can definitely work. I have some things that are in the works and stuff that I've been working on that I'm proud of that I just have to get in the studio and knock out. So I'm back. So social media is the best place to hit me up right now. And then, you know, it'll get more official in the months to come. But right now I just need organic, you know, conversation and organic connections.
Well, if there's anything that I can do for you, please don't hesitate to let me know. And I got you.
I definitely appreciate that.
I want to thank you again. This has been a phenomenal conversation. I have enjoyed myself immensely.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed myself.
And thank you. You have a phenomenal day on purpose. And shout out to all three kids.
Thank you so much. I want
to say you have a good one, and you are welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye. Yo, that's pretty fucking dope, man. Very, very, just a genuine soul, a beautiful person. Don't forget to check out Ellie San Diego on all social media platforms and check out her music. You know, if you get the opportunity to go check her out bartending, please do that as well. Anyway, this is Jobs, and this has been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio. And next week, we have Demizza coming on at 5 o'clock and Nassan at 7 o'clock. So those would be some dope ass shows too. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the channel and the shows. Peace. Y'all have a good one.